KFYO 739, good morning. Again, temperature is 23 degrees. It is the chilliest day of the year so far for the thriving metropolis of Lubbock, Texas and surrounding area.
Bundle the kids up this morning before you send them off to school.
People out in Muleshoe? Ugh, 16 degrees, really? Wow. Hope it's not windy out there. Mm. You know, it's going to be really chilly. Hey, on the phone, we've got our guy, our Congressman Randy Neugebauer. You know, it's taxpayer dollars hard at work. We've got Veterans Day proper celebrated. Is he sleeping in? No. Randy Neugebauer is on the line with us. Good morning and welcome to the show, sir.
Good morning, Tom, Laura. Isn't it kind of ironic when it's warmer in Washington, D.C. than it is in Lubbock, Texas?
That is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it could be all this hot air that circulates around in Washington.
That could be.
That's a fact.
Washington, we'll call this Washington warming instead of global warming.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. Okay. Hey, on your roundup, we're looking at wind energy production tax credit. Now that's expiring January 1, 2013. Do we have anything in place there?
Well, you know, there's a number of pieces of tax policy that are expiring at the end of the year that the Congress will have to deal with, and this is another one of those. You know, we've talked about a number of them in the past. This is the production tax credit. You know, the wind industry has really centered a lot of the growth in West Texas in the big country, and we've seen tremendous amount of growth. In fact, probably right now in the world, in the 19th congressional district, we may have you know, the largest farms in the world, and we've been providing tax credits to build these. Some of these counties have given tax abatement. And we're coming up on the end of that policy, and we're now trying to determine what's the best way to proceed from here forward. And I think one of the best ways is to do a phased out over the next 4 or 5 years of the credits and then let the industry basically begin to stand on its own.
That might be an idea. Also, relative that and the economy, what about unemployment, and where are those figures standing right now for Americans?
Well, you know, we saw the unemployment rate tick back up last week from 7.8 to 7.9. I think one of the things that's a little bit misleading about these numbers is that I think the real number is the U6 number, which shows people that are underemployed, people that have quit looking for work, and that number is still in the 14s. You know, Tom, one of the things that you need to understand is that we've seen a large number, millions of people are dropping out of the workforce, just gotten frustrated and quit looking for work, and so basically dropped out of the workforce. And so these unemployment numbers are misleading. I think overall, when you look at the economy for job growth in this country, we're still very weak. We're not creating enough jobs to keep up with just the normal growth, population growth in our country.
Yeah. Sir, just an observation, and we want to bring that to light. Laura and I were talking off mic a little bit earlier about employment and the ag industry, but we're going to hit that when we come back, okay?
That'll be a plan.
It is 742, 22 degrees now at Lubbock. KFYO, it is 747. Collins, Mack, and Neugebauer on a Monday morning. Welcome back to the program, sir. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you.
Did you have a good weekend?
I had a good weekend. You know, I saw our Red Raiders. I didn't get to see it, but, you know, the Red Raiders won, and got to attend a Marine military ball. So it was a pretty good weekend.
That's awesome. That's awesome. We're going to talk about the United States Marine Corps here directly. But, you know, we were talking about unemployment figures just a minute ago and the way that, you know, America's affected with that. Laura and I were talking a little bit earlier off mic, and we were reading some information that there were farmers and ranchers are having problem finding people to work. I mean, the unemployment rate is ticking up, but the available jobs are also ticking up. What's with that?
Well, unfortunately, Tom, we've gotten to the point in this country where we incentivize people not to work instead of incentivize them to work. And, I mean, with unemployment benefits going for as long as 99 weeks, We've seen food stamps into this country increase 40% in the last 4 years. And so basically, unfortunately, there's not a lot of incentive for some people to work. And that's the reason we've got to reform some of these programs, making sure that they're the safety net for the people who can't take care of themselves, but making sure that we make sure people have an incentive to go to work and not to stay home.
Isn't it part of the problem, though, when employers will only hire people for so many hours per week because they don't want to pay them full-time benefits, and so they're like making hourly wage that's not really high and not a whole lot of hours? I mean, I know there are some jobs like that.
Well, Laura, I think sometimes people have seasonal opportunities. For example, farmers and ranchers, or vegetable growers, or fruit growers, they have seasonal needs where they need to pick those products. But the other thing is a lot of these part-time jobs are ways for people to enter into the workforce. And so if you go to work for a company and you're working 20, 30 hours a week, you show them what a good worker you are, that's going to be an opportunity to move up the ladder, so to speak. And so, but we shouldn't be allowing people to game the system by maybe only working part-time so that they can get these other benefits. In many cases, there may be full-time employment offered to them, but they figured out a way to work part-time and still get these additional benefits.
Well, case in point, I had a guy that came to work for me. And, you know, I was trying him out for a couple of weeks, and I just told him, I said, hey, man, look, I'm gonna try you out for a couple of weeks. We'll see how it goes, and, you know, if you kind of catch on, everything works out. Because, you know, in the business that I'm in, you know, we have to have, you know, a different skill level. It's not just anybody can come in and do it. There's quite a learning curve. But, you know, it was interesting because, you know, he came in, caught on real quick, and then, you know, I started working him some more hours. And he said, "Well, hey, can you just pay me cash?" And I'm like, "Well, I could, but I'm not going to." And he goes, "Well, then, you know, if I don't get paid cash, and I'm not getting paid under the table, then I'm going to lose my food stamps, and I don't want to lose my food stamps, so don't give me so many hours." And it's just like, you know, I'm like, "Look, guy, I'm not going to jail or the penitentiary for you or anybody else. You know, I'm going to take this out of your check, and if you don't like it, see you later. Bye."
Yeah. But on the other hand, there are some companies out there that the employer does want more hours, but they won't give it to them.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree with that. But, you know, the thing is what people are doing is they don't quote unquote want to work. A lot of people don't want to work. I know a lot of people that are unemployed right now. Case in point, I know one guy, he's, you know, probably 55, 56 years old. And, you know, I mean, he may work part time at best. And, you know, the guy's got two college degrees. I don't get it.
You know, I think one of the things that a lot of employers, Laura, right now are concerned about is this Obamacare mandate that's coming out. And so I've heard a number of companies say, you know, we're having to retool our workforce. And some employers are reducing the number of employees that they're going to have on their payroll below some of the thresholds. And so what we don't want is people, companies having to game the system to protect the bottom line of those companies. What we want them to do is be hiring people and creating good jobs and opportunities. And I think most employers that I sit down with, that's their goal, because people mean profits for them, and if they have the right people in place. But what we have right now is the government right now is putting out 86 to 88 new regulations per day, and basically they're bombarding our job creators. And what's happened is they're in a defensive mode right now, trying to figure out how to navigate through this field of regulation.
Well, that's that's kind of interesting, and relative to Obamacare. And we're going to go to a break here in just a sec, but I did want to mention this. Relative Obamacare, quote unquote, Nancy Pelosi, at the time she was the majority leader, she said, "We're going to have to pass it before we find out what's in it." That is the most ignorant thing that somebody could say. Good morning. It is 7:53. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Congressman Randy Neugebauer on the line. News Talk 790 KFYO 757. It's 22 degrees with Tom Collins, Laura Mack, and our guy, Congressman Randy Neugebauer, on the phone.
I've got one question for you about this. Of course, the fiscal cliff is what everybody's talking about right now. Is it possible for lawmakers to put politics aside and actually work together to come up to with a solution to this problem?
Well, I'm very hopeful that we can. We're going to see over the next couple of weeks. This week we're back in Washington. We'll have some election of leadership, but primarily I think after Thanksgiving we're going to see the discussion come up of how to avoid this cliff, what kind of spending cuts that we can agree to, and then there's a discussion on the tax policy that's coming up. And, you know, Republicans want to increase revenue by basically extending the Bush tax credits and allowing more money to be kept by companies to grow the economy. The president wants to increase tax rates, and so that will be the main discussion here the next month or so in Congress.
Yeah, wow. I just, you know, talk on the street, I think people are really wanting Congress to work together with the president and you know, really work together on this thing. Is that, do you think it's possible? I mean, are we just, is it gridlock again in Washington?
Well, the Republicans have brought several ideas forward. What we need for the president and for the particularly the Senate Majority Leader Reid is to come to the table. We keep sending them ideas and legislation, and they keep not acting on it. So what we really need is for the president to be serious about what he's saying and to get engaged in this process and be at the table. Republicans really feel like we're sitting at the table by ourselves right now.
Yeah.
So both sides need to compromise.
Absolutely. Both sides need to come together, exactly.
Right.
Hey, okay, so recently you were down in Abilene over the weekend, and you were at the Marine Corps Ball, yeah?
Yes, 237th birthday for the Marine Corps. We had birthday cake, and hundreds of Marines were there, and kind of an exciting thing happened while I was there. The table next to me, the Marine proposed to his girlfriend, and had the ring brought out with dessert. It was really cool. But I tell you, so proud of the men and women that serve our country. And as you know, today is Veterans Day, and encourage everyone to be sure and thank a veteran for his service to our country, and particularly wish those Marines a happy birthday.
That's right.
Hey, Congressman, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate you getting up early and making the call.
Thank you. Y'all have a great day.